He asked me if I'd be ready for Sunday school or the main service. But then he said, well, maybe you can do Sunday night service. So I had something ready anyway I was going to do for Sunday school, so I just figured we'd do it tonight. But that still allowed me to take Brother Steve's class here this morning with Isaac and Leah. So anyway, we're going to talk about let not sin rule in our lives today. A lot of thoughts going. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6. Well, I better see if this is on, right? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I don't know, maybe I'd like to read the whole thing. Maybe I'll just read the whole thing. It's not very long. Romans chapter 6. Before we do that, though, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this evening. We thank you that we have this opportunity to be in your house here this evening, Father. May we not take these things for granted. And it's a blessing to be able to have the church doors come in and worship you in spirit and truth here this evening, Father. Tonight, Father, we do think of Sister Leah's family, and we think of Julian and during their time of sorrow, and just ask that you comfort them, Father. Give them peace that passeth all understanding at this time. And Father, even through these events that take place, I just pray that someone will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior through the death of these people, Father. And your word tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgments. So, Father, it's just the reality. You have been up front with us, and it's expected. We just don't know when, Father. But that don't make it easier, and I ask that you comfort these people and give them wisdom and peace at this time, Father. We think of our missionaries out there that are away from their family and friends and their country, and just ask that you protect them, Father, and meet their needs. There's many needs represented there that only you can meet. And we do think of Brother Michael Garamy and his willingness to go and start a church for you, Father, even though there's dangers there. So I just ask that you protect him and his family, and just encourage them and give them a special blessing, even at this time, Father, and just encourage their hearts. And we just thank you for all the safety you provided for the people that were traveling this week and today. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with them and give them safety, encourage their hearts. And you do so much for us, Father, and your goodness and your mercy towards us is never ending. Your mercies are new every day, Father, and we're just so undeserving. Help us just to be humble servants of yours in the days ahead, Father, and help us to learn through the scriptures that we look at here tonight, Father, that sin just ruins. It destroys. And if we take it lightly, it'll destroy us, Father. So just help us to learn to remember a few things here tonight that would help us to be better servants of yours in the days ahead. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can anyone name one good thing associated with sin? Can you name one? No, there's not one good thing. Not one good thing has ever been mentioned about sin. You won't find one good thing mentioned in the Bible. You won't hear of one good thing that a Christian has to say about sin. I've never have. I don't know why I would, but the fact is I still never have. And so I just kind of, like I said, I was planning on doing this for, when I wrote it, I was planning on doing it for Sunday school, and the Lord worked it out so it's for this evening, and that's fine. But I just want to take a look at sin. You know, and I'm going to read chapter 6 here in a minute. A lot of times, though, I don't know, we think of sin, or at least I do, we think of sin, we think of murder, and you know, all them types of sins, but sin in our lives that will ruin us, we're not going around thinking about murder, are we? No, we're thinking of small things. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll get to Romans 6 in a minute, but let's go to Joshua chapter 7, shall we? Just real quickly. I just thought of this here a little bit ago. Joshua chapter 7, we're all familiar with the story of Achan. Now, this is a terrible story. It's a terrible story, but you know, what Joshua wanted to do was he just coveted some things that he shouldn't have been wanting. But boy, what a price to pay for that. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because like I said, when I think of sin, I'm thinking of murder and violence and things like that. But that's not what's going to destroy you and me. I don't see one of us in here going out murdering somebody. But there's sin out there. If we let it reign in our lives, will destroy each one of us. Just like it did Achan. But you know the problem? I said Achan's a terrible story because it wasn't Achan that just got stoned and burned, was it? No. His sons and his daughters, too. I'll just read a couple verses here. Let me see. I will read verse 10 and 11. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, they have put it even among their own stuff. And if I jump down to verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And we're familiar with the story. And if we jump down to, I'm going to start in verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters. That part just, it gets me every time I read that. It gets me every time. And his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Isn't that terrible? All because of sin. Someone allowed sin to have rule over them. And his sons and I can't imagine what his sons and his daughters were saying to their daddy when they were getting stoned. Can you think of what they might have been saying? Daddy, why are they doing this? All because of sin. So I just want to take a look at not allowing sin to have rule over us. Not allowing sin to have rule over us. Sin ruled over Achan that day. It don't mean he went around sinning every day. But that's all it takes is that one time, right? That one time. We can't go back in time and undo things. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to hurry and read the whole thing because I really want to read it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we? That's us. How shall we? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's talking to every one of us here. Sin does not have dominion over us because of what Christ did. It doesn't have dominion over us. We choose to sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wanted to read that whole thing because it talks about being freed from sin. And it's nothing we've done. It's obviously, we already know it's what Christ has done. Verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Then why is it that there's times in our lives where sin has dominion? Why is that? Because it clearly says right here in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It kind of reminds me, and maybe I've told you this story before about the raccoons that were in my burning barrels. I went out there one time, and I emptied them recently at that time, and I went out there to burn the garbage, and there was a mother and three baby raccoons down at the bottom of the burning barrel. I imagine they climbed the cement blocks and jumped down in there to see if they couldn't find something to eat. And they were in there most of the day because I was at work, and it was hot down in there. And I thought, I usually shoot a coon when I see it out there. But it had three babies with it, and I must have caught me at a tender moment or something. So I just tipped the burning barrel over, and I was going to let them run to the woods, right? I'll shoot them another day. Well, the mother coon, she got out of there, and she took off for the woods and didn't look back. Those three babies followed her for about 10 feet, and they stopped and turned around and came right back and ran inside that burning barrel that was laying on the ground. But that it just always has reminded me of people that are free from sin, and they turn right around, and they go right back to it. And things, you know, because of what Christ has done, it just don't make sense to allow that in our lives. Knowing that, it can be very destructive. And knowing that, just like that story of Achan, it's not going to affect just me. Mm-mm. I can see two people right there that it's going to affect, and I know of more that aren't sitting in here that it's going to affect, and the same is true with every one of you. If we allow sin to rule in our lives, even just that much, it's not going to be secret eventually. It's certainly never a secret with God. Sin will find you out, but it's not going to affect just me. That's the terrible part about sin. That's the terrible part about Achan's story there. Some little kids, it didn't say how old his sons and daughters were, okay? But in my mind, they're young children. And it didn't have to be that way. We can all, every one of us in here that have been saved for any amount of years, just think in your mind of the people that used to sit in here or a different church that no longer are because of sin, right? Every one of us can think of somebody. And I imagine it's going through your mind right now. Yeah, these people used to be in here, but sin got a hold of them. Maybe I shouldn't say sin got a hold of them, right? They got a hold of sin. They got a hold of sin because they were freed. Just like every one of us. We're freed. I probably better start, huh? Okay. Throughout the Bible, there's verses that we read that say we are to rule over fish, birds, living creatures, and even people. But then we also read where sin rules over people. And that's what I want to talk about today. Don't let that sin rule in our lives. It'll ruin us. It's sin that destroys, kills, ruins. It's sin that keeps our prayers from being heard. We can go to, for the sake of time, we're not going to go there, but we go to Psalm 66:18 for that. You know, it's sin that destroys mothers and fathers and families and children. Do you ever think there's been one divorce that wasn't caused by sin? Stop and think about that. Do you ever think a married couple, why would they get a divorce if there wasn't any sin involved? You know, lusting after somebody's sin, right? It has to be, what's James 4:17 say? Let's just go there real quick. Somewhere down the line, it had to be sin to ruin a marriage. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, sin's responsible for every divorce, the way I see it. So many families have been torn apart because somebody let sin start out as some small little thing in their life, and it just kept going. It started out up here. Brother Joe, this morning, talking about having the right perspective, what was the key to having the right perspective? He told us this morning, staying in the Word of God. Staying in the Word of God. Well, that sin that starts out up here, the only way to keep that from starting out up there is to be in the Word of God. Sounds like, Brother Joe, the Word of God's the key to everything, right? It's the key to everything. How many times have each one of us said, well, I'll read the Bible tomorrow? And I'm not picking on you folks at all. Not even a little bit. You probably read the Bible more than I do. But I'm just saying, see how you let one little thing start like that? The next time, a couple, 3 weeks later, well, I'll get to it in a couple days. That's how it starts. That's what ruins our lives. But it's just like Brother Joe said this morning, we need to be in the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, you all know this verse, Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, that's it right there. That's a simple little verse, but it's a powerful little verse to keep sin from having rule over us. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. What are we going to do someday? You know, like right now, Russia's invading Ukraine, right? What are we going to do someday if we get invaded and we don't have our Bibles anymore? Are we going to sit around and wish that we would have hid more scripture in our heart? You better believe it. You say, well, that's never going to happen. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying it very well could. But then we're all going to think back at the times we forsook reading our Bibles, trying to memorize some scripture when we had the opportunity to do it. None of us are above sinning. There's not one of us in here that are above sinning, right? We still carry around this sin nature. We're still walking this world, and Satan, as far as I know, is still doing his thing. Well, let's just go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, and I want to read 8 and 10. Well, we'll read 8, 9, and 10. Seems how we're here. 1 John chapter 1. It says, if we say that we have no sin, you see, that's the problem right there with a lot of people. You know what? If we say that we have no sin, that's right where the sin starts, right there. You know, that's it. Right there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, right there, if we confess our sins, that just takes it from here and gets rid of it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's, once you get it up here and you know it's wrong, then you go right here. You go right there and get rid of it. Because if you let it stay up here, you end up like Achan. He let it stay right up there. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. There's not a one of us that are above sinning, folks. But as soon as that thought gets in our head, and we come to our senses and realize that, just confess it and get rid of it. When we drag our feet on confessing it because for some reason we want to think about it, it's going to lead to disaster. And like I said, every one of us in here can think of somebody that used to be in here that's not anymore. I don't mean they're in another church either. I mean they're out of church altogether. Lives are ruined. Hebrews 12:1, let's just, these are some familiar verses. I realize that, and I just want to talk about something that's simple as sin, but yet it's deadly. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we're never going to run that race that is set before us if we don't get rid of the sin. Yeah, that's fine. If we don't get rid of the sin, which trips us up, keeps us from running that race. And that's what those people that aren't sitting in here tonight, that's what they did. They're not running their race anymore. See, I think long term. I think long term. And I'm thinking 10 years from now. Are we all still going to be in here 10 years from now? Maybe not. But Lord willing, it's not going to be because of sin. Lord can move us any place he wants to put us. But Lord willing also, there's not anybody in here tonight that won't be here 10 years from now because of sin. That's what I'm saying. We're not above that, people. We're not above that at all. You know, the sin which thus so easily beset us, it seems to refer to the one sin or sins that seem to trip up a Christian or just defeats them altogether. But we've been set free, John 8:36. And I talked about this, well, maybe it was with the recording for the nursing home, but John 8:36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, every one of us in here have been freed that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've been freed. So they just don't make no sense to let that sin rule us. It's either sin, Satan and sin, they go together. It's either sin that's going to rule us tomorrow, or it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to rule us tomorrow. And when I say the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Him, it's His Word. What's going to rule us tomorrow? What's going to rule us tomorrow when somebody cuts us off in traffic? Or somebody pulls out in front of us, they're in a hurry to pull out in front of us, but they're in no hurry to get up to speed. That's one thing that drives me crazy. But what's going to rule at that time? What's going to rule throughout the week, this week coming up? None of us can say for sure that we're going to be here next Sunday night, can we? But Lord willing, if one of us aren't here next Sunday night, it won't be because of sin. Can't think of one good thing to mention with sin. What one good thing sin brings. Not one. But yet there's times we'll entertain the thought of some simple little sin, like wanting something like Achan did. And it cost him. Don't get ourselves tangled back up with sin. You know, I was tangled in sin before the Lord saved me. I lived like the world lived. You wouldn't catch me in church on a Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. I walked in that darkness, right? Same way every one of you did before the Lord saved you. Let's go to Galatians 5:1. I know I'm not telling you folks anything new. I realize that. I don't think I could tell you anything new. I just want to stress tonight the importance of staying in God's Word. So even the slightest little sin right up here doesn't go any farther than that. It doesn't even stay there. We confess it, and the Lord says He'll, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I had to say the verse so I could get to what I want to say. Anyway, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's like those raccoons that ran back into that burning barrel. And that's so often what people want to do. They've been free, and it was a tremendous price to free us. But they've been freed, and they run right back and entangle themselves with sin. You know, I know it's 1:45, and I've talked more than I've read this thing, but let's go to Psalms 19:13. Psalms 19:13, it says, well, I'm going to start in verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Boy, if we could pray that on a daily basis. Cleanse thou me from even those sins I'm not aware of. Are they there? Sure, they're there. We sin and we're not aware of it from time to time. Would you all agree with that? He says here, cleanse me from those sins. You talk about having a heart to wanting to be right with God. When you want to be cleansed from sins you're not even aware of. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Verse 12 and verse 13, you know, that ought to be a regular habit of ours, actually. Asking the Lord to cleanse us from from those sins we're not even aware of, but also the ones we are aware of. How can we fulfill His will for our lives if we know of sin in our lives? How are we going to do that? We cannot fully accomplish the Lord's will in our lives. We can't even pray to Him if we have iniquity in our hearts, right? It doesn't do any good. You realize the burden that's placed on somebody? When somebody comes up and says, "Would you pray for me?" Well, you tell them, "Yes, you better be right with the Lord." Or why are we telling them yes? There's a huge burden there. And it's a burden that every one of us in here should be glad to bear, praying for somebody else. But we had better be right with God, or we're not doing that person any good when they are counting on us. Psalms 119, 133. How about that one? 119, 133. It says, "Order my steps in thy word." Yeah, right there, we're back into being in the word of God. "Order my steps in the word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Not any have dominion over me. Not even the slightest little thing. It's 10:02, and I got to figure out. I got on here, the lost are helpless. You know, the lost are helpless. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:26. You all know this verse too. Well, let me... see where I want to start reading that there. Okay, well, I'm just going to read, let's go to 23, down to 26. Well, let's go to 22. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And then verse 26, "and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive, who have taken captive by him at his will." See, the lost, they have no choice but to go their sinful ways. I mean, they really have no, the only choice they have is just like I was recording a message Thursday night. There's really only one main choice that we all need to worry about if we're not saved. And that's, which road are we going to take, the narrow way or the broad way? Everything else doesn't really matter to the lost. And they have no choice but to keep on sinning. We have the choice. We have the choice because Christ has done the work. Yeah, I know. Okay, well, I think I'll skip the rest of this, but I'm going to go, let's just close. It's 10:02, and I got to close. But let's go to Matthew 4:4. I'll close with that one. You know, every time Jesus was tempted, he went to, he quoted scripture, right? He quoted verses. But if we were to take this Matthew 4:4 to heart, then sin wouldn't have dominion over us anytime. It says here, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And if we lived our lives by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, every word, then sin wouldn't have a chance in our lives. 10 years from now, every one of us would still be sitting in here. So I just wanted to talk tonight about sin and the importance of it and the destructiveness of it. And there's not one good thing that anybody can ever say about sin. Even the small sins that we consider small, sin's sin. But yeah, our nature says, okay, these sins are small and this one's big. And I would imagine Achan thought his sin was no big deal. He's just going to take a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver, a few garments. No big deal. There's plenty of them. It cost him his life and his children, plus his tent and his cattle and whatever else. But don't think sin is small in your life. Sin is very destructive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, that we've had this time just to look at a few verses and refresh our memory about just how powerful and deadly and destructive sin can be. Father, help us to realize that as soon as we acknowledge that sin in our lives, just to take it to you and ask you to forgive us and to cleanse us, Father, and your word tells us you'll do exactly that. Help us in the days ahead, Father, to be on guard, because Satan would love for every one of us in here not to be here next Sunday. And he'll do everything he can to keep us from that, Father. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your word and how it guides us and directs us, Father. And just we thank you that we're able to have our own very own copy of it, Father. And we have no excuses. Not a one of us in here have any excuses to fail you, Father. You've done all the work. You've provided us with everything we need. And we thank you for that, Father. Just help us to be humble servants of yours in the days ahead. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.